April 3rd, 8:45 a.m. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the March 6th meeting. Do I have a motion?
Move for approval.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number three is public comment. If you are here for public comment, please come to the podium. You have 2.5 minutes to speak. I will have a timer going. And let's see if anyone's here to speak. We've got an audience, so. No? Oh.
Good morning. Stuart Whiteside, Stephen Whiteside, Associates, 501 Margaret Park Boulevard. Here on the behalf of Charleston Harbor Resort Marina Club, which is on the agenda today. Council over the last several months and years worked real hard on the comprehensive plan and determined locations suitable for hotels in the downtown plaza. I believe the paper is going to this one. Charleston Harbor Resort and Marina's had a very positive economic impact on the town for over 20 years now. And they are looking at 132 rooms to the person out of offering separate project. As staff will tell you, the parking is meets their requirements, meets all of the town requirements, and PPDA has also expressed their support for the project. The thing that made this a confusion at the planning commission meeting a couple weeks back when they took the vote against the project. We are here today. If you all have any questions during the discussions, we'll be glad to clear anything up.
Great. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Oliver Ruskins. I reside on 1228 Palmetto Place, Mount Pleasant. I'm the general manager here at Charleston Harbor Resort and Marina. And we represent the owner of Kip's Group, American Financial Group. We acquired the property in 2002 and over the years have developed the old hotel into a world-class destination, making a huge impact on the community and the town of Mount Pleasant. And we hope to approve our project today.
Thank you. Is there anyone else for public comment?
Thanks. Good morning. My name is Tabitha Simmons. I'm here on behalf of Enterprise Rent-A-Car, 1145 Johnny Dodds Boulevard. And we are here today for the rezoning from AB to AB2 for 479 Long Point Road. Just wanted to say that we believe this is a great use for this property as a rental car agency, given that it is unused and in a heavy industrial area. And just wanted to say that we're here today to answer any questions during the agenda on 5C, if you guys have anything for us.
All right, thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Andrea Parco, and I'm one of the owners of 479 Long Point Road, which used to be Long Point Grill. We are hoping that you will also see that the proper usage for the space would be for Enterprise, for a rental car. It's in the perfect location. And it's been empty for quite some time, which has caused a lot of vandalism, et cetera, et cetera. So if you have any other questions regarding before, when it was used as a restaurant, and the 3 years it's been empty, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Right, anyone further for public comment? Right, public comment is now closed. Moving on to item number 4A, budget review, general fund operating expenditures.
I can go ahead. Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of committee. You're doing well. You had a nice weekend. If you flip to the planning tab in your budget, I can run through some of the highlights for you. And obviously, Michelle is here to answer any questions that you have. First and foremost, overall, the budget's down this year. The proposed budget's less than it was for the current year, mostly due to activity or less activity in the contractual services line item. There is one new position. There's one new position in the entire budget, but it's in this department, and that is a land codes inspector, and that is found with the other wage adjustments in the salary line item. If you'll flip one page to page 35, you will see a lot of activity in contractual services, the top two items. $200,000 and $100,000 respectively. They involve a comprehensive plan. One's continuation of the zoning code update, and the other is an allocation for special area plans. Also, as a result of the comprehensive plan, item number three is a short-term rental software at over $27,000. And then in addition to that, back to the main page, there are just small increases in relatively minor items like telephones and uniforms, mostly due to the new position. And then lastly, not on this page, but further back in the CMP, which is our comprehensive maintenance plan, I just wanted to point out that there's still funding allocated for historical markers, a continuation of that program, as well as livability initiatives brought on by the comprehensive plan, again, in the form of tree bank and some money for underground. And those are the highlights.
Great. Do you need, if we have no changes to make, do you need any motion from us, or is it able to just move forward as is?
Yes, Madam Chair, a recommendation for approval to the budget committee. Okay. Back to the budget committee would be great.
I'll make a motion to recommend that we recommend the planning department budget, the planning land use and neighborhoods budget for full approval.
Is this items A and B?
Yeah.
Oh, item A and B?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
A and B.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion or any questions, Mrs. Cordy?
Where's Mars? Oh, Eric. So on, when it comes to salaries, and then you've got overtime and health insurance and all the costs that come along with salaries, mm-hmm. would it be possible to get like a line item total for human capital, I guess? Do you know what, does that make sense? It just seems like you have to go in and add. It would be cool to have just a total percentage of human capital cost. And the new position, forgive me, I'm not saying anything negative about it, but did we approve that? Or the council voted on that, and I just don't remember.
It was a request that was brought up several times, most recently at the retreat.
By a majority of council, like we voted on that? Or was it just a suggestion?
It was not voted on and approved.
Okay. So that would get approved through this process?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And I would like to have some more data about that, maybe like needs, costs. Does that make sense? I guess I should talk to you guys about that. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, Madam Chairman, I have been pushing to get better oversight of the violations of all of our zoning issues. We only have one person for this entire town to go out and look at things like illegal signs, things like fact people doing work on the building before getting approval, people cutting down trees that shouldn't be cut down. One person for this entire town. I've worked on a particular sign for over a month. It shouldn't be up, and it's getting worked on, but the problem is there's only one person. And these things happen 7 days a week, not 5 days a week. And people wait till the weekend so they can maybe get away with things. All I'm saying is it's one person to do in town that has grown and grown for over the years, and we haven't recognized that. That's what this is all about.
Oh, sorry. Ms. Corley, go ahead.
And I hear you, Mr. Chapman, and I know that's been your battle cry, I think, since we got on council. But I feel like I've never gotten, like, how much it's going to cost. Do other towns, how many do other towns have per that position? Do we have a problem, or are we just, I mean, is there, like, a factual data?
I think it's about, mostly just about the level of service you want to provide in this regard. And, mm-hmm. and you know, like so many of the other expenditures mentioned in contractual services, this came out of the comprehensive plan reviews, that livability issues rose to the top in just about everything. And so I think by extension, there were a lot of comments received to staff that, hey, we're probably, we may not be, despite how hard our people work at this effort, we've gotten to a point of our in our history of our growth that it's difficult to keep up the quality that the citizens expect when they're driving around town, whether it's signs and rights of way and things like that. So that's kind of how this whole this thing bubbled up. And by the way, we have in here, let's see, if I'm looking at it correctly. Well, I probably need to defer to Michelle here. Do you have the salary range for the new position?
Yeah, it's a grade 2 mm-hmm. 10. Mm-hmm. So I think it starts out at the men is 2146, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Max.
Max, I don't know. We usually do men to mid. I think the mid was 23 or 24. Base. Right. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And then are they going to get a car?
Miles.
Yeah, they'll get the clothing, the equipment, and those sorts of things. We'll have to work that out with our current code enforcement officer. I know he works every weekend, so this will be a relief for him. I'm sure that they will be able to work out their schedules to where they're able to work different times on different weekends and things like that. So.
You know, Ms. Hyatt, go ahead.
I was just going to ask what qualifications are required for this and training for them to know.
You know, I've never put out an ad for a land codes inspector. We do have a job description. There are minimum requirements. We do require training. Our code enforcement officer has a badge. And we've got in the budget for the additional training and those sorts of things, too.
So I'm in agreement with Mr. Chapman. I think in a town of 95,000 people, having one person who's trying to enforce our codes is inadequate. It's inadequate to, and just from my own experience with citizens who are trying to get these codes enforced, I think having another person there to like have the timeline be sped up would be very useful. And I think this is a good addition to the budget.
And one thing to keep in mind, Ms. Corley, I know that when council is getting ready to approve, I think, final reading of an increase in the short-term rental fee, part of that was for this position as well. So that will double from 250 to 500, and there was justification for this position. So I feel better about it.
All right, we have a motion on the table to approve the budget in a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. A motion carries unanimously. Item number 5, A, the Peaches Point PD.
Peter Stone's going to present this item.
Thanks, Michelle. Good morning, Madam Chair and Planning Committee members. Before you, we have the request to amend the Patriots Point PD. The proposal is to allow 433 new hotel units. Planning Commission did recommend denial, and if you have any questions about the context surrounding that, we would be glad to share. Hopefully this presentation clears up any of those questions that they may have had during that meeting. So here are the property fronts, Charleston Harbor. We have the marina, the existing resort, and in aggregate, the property is 23 acres. And as referenced, this property is regulated by the Patriots Point Plan Development. The applicant leases this property from the Patriots Point Development Authority. And it's contemplated in their lease agreement that future development continue and master planning and conceptual planning continue, just as an effort to support the work of the PPDA with the museum, maintenance of the Yorktown, and the surrounding grounds. So the comp plan, future land use, does identify this area as waterfront district, and we'll circle back to that later and the importance of that. But currently existing on the site, what we have is the original Charleston Harbor Resort and Marina, the Beach Club at Charleston Harbor, and then the Charleston Harbor Fish House. So this is currently existing. Proposed, what we have is the addition of the 133 units and the requisite parking to go along with that. So conceptually, they are proposing to redevelop an existing parking lot, overflow parking lot area. And while this will be going through development review team and DRB, this request is so minimal in nature that it does not in any way trigger an impact assessment. So it does not meet that minimum threshold. That's why I wanted to share the impact fees here in the bottom right corner. This will not be coming back. It's just that minimal of a request, and the scope is limited in that way. So going back to the importance of the future land use designation, in 2022, Town Council adopted the ordinance that placed conditions on hotels, and the hope was to moderate the proliferation of hotels townwide, and in doing so, they placed conditions and tied it to the future land use and areas where hotels could be. So Waterfront District was specifically an area, and Patriots Point is in that waterfront district. Also, town scale commercial is a district that future land use designation that council identified as well. And the comp plan talks about Patriots Point being developed to town scale standards. So it's duly an area where hotels are sanctioned to be. And as mentioned, and with this new development plan, they will be utilizing the ULI shared parking. That is not unique to this PD. This is something that we use in our base zoning. They have met that requirement. This would not be before you if they didn't meet those requirements, and staff has reviewed that. And the reason that's important is because with this new modification to the parking, they will be required to submit themselves to an off-site parking agreement. Previously, all of these sites were parked, self-parked within their own parcel lines. Now they'll be integrating these and parking and sharing that. So what the town requires is a document that restricts, through a covenant agreement, basically stating that the town will also be a party to that agreement, and it will regulate future development and put a hold on it, and just to confirm that they're not building on parking and that parking is not being given away or leased to someone else. It freezes that parking plan. So that concludes staff presentation. We're glad to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions from the committee? Ms. Hyatt?
Can we see the before and after aerial again that shows exactly where this is going? Yeah, this piece. Okay. And then that. Okay.
This closed a question. Michelle, the original PD, it didn't have those extra hotels, right? It just had restaurants.
Yeah, the original hotel had, or the original site plan had quite a few, 6 restaurants.
Correct. So this was originally adopted in 1997. There were 6 restaurants, numerous hotels. This, and at commission, it was kind of shown, and I, could show it, but this is a very modest development plan compared to what was originally proposed. So
the original had hotels also?
That is correct. And there were a different variety of hotels, not just your standard resort hotel. Mm-hmm. You would have hotels that resemble cottages. So those were... So this is it, yeah. What they would call condo garden flats as well. So that you had condos, hotels, and 6 restaurants.
Okay. Mr. Chapman?
I'm having a hard time finding the Yorktown with these drawings. Can you help identify where that is?
Correct. So it is actually not a part of this development, but... Let's see if I can turn on the...
Well, certainly part of Patriots Point development.
Certainly is, yes. So this is the Charleston Harbor Resort Marina, and it is a compartmentalized, isolated, separate entity from the Yorktown property, but the Yorktown would be up in this area.
Okay. That's what I thought. Do you have a number on the number of future hotels that have been agreed to on Patriots Point? And they're supposed, one of them is supposed to start construction, I think, this year.
So we have, as mentioned before, separate entities. You have Ferry Wharf, you have Patriots Annex, and you have the Charleston Harbor Resort Marina. All three are operating distinctly and separately.
Patriots Annex has three hotels, I think, Patriots Annex.
I can't hear you.
I believe Patriots Annex has two or three hotels. Two or three hotels. And remember, Patriots Annex is not a PD. It's waterfront gateway zoning. So what was approved was a conceptual plan, but it had certain components that were approved, but there's still some flexibility in there into how many. So the max was three. They could have as low as one or two. And then Ferry Wharf, as Peter mentioned.
I have a few questions. So this land is actually owned by the state, is that correct? And it's a long-term lease for the build-out. And this property does not pay taxes into the town of Mount Pleasant, is that correct? Like for property tax. But with the hotel proposal, if these additional 133, they pay accommodations tax, is that right? So that would be, so I'm just trying to understand the benefit to the town of Mount Pleasant in approving an additional 133 units. What's the benefit to the town?
We do receive taxation, not in the form of property taxes. That land is owned by the state, but all the other improvements on the site is taxable, and we receive taxes on that. Other than that, it's really, a policy decision on whether or not you believe, the town needs more accommodations.
And this was also talked about as supporting New Yorktown. How does adding 133 hotel rooms support? Is it just the visitors that come to the Yorktown? Is there funding that goes from the hotel room rates directly to the Yorktown, additional beyond whatever the lease is, the land lease?
It's my understanding it's the latter, Ms. Whitley, but I think the applicant could speak further to that. I know in meetings with them, they talked about what they bring in, they support the Medal of Honor Museum, the Yorktown, and all of those other efforts. I'm not sure of the specifics of that arrangement, but perhaps the applicant could speak more to those.
Would the applicant be willing to come forward? Thank you so much. So the revenue generated by these additional 133 hotel rooms, what percentage of that goes back to the Yorktown or to...
Absolutely. We have a lease agreement for the five different parcels that we own, and depending on what parcel it is and what use, we pay a percentage of our top line revenues to the PPDA, which averages about 5%.
Okay, so 5%. So 5% of whatever is generated from this will go back to support the Yorktown.
Absolutely. And we don't pay taxes, but we pay taxes in lieu of accommodation tax, so we do pay to the town of Mount Pleasant as well.
Okay. And do you know the percentage on that one?
I don't. I can definitely find it out.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I also know, I also serve on the board of Explore Charleston, and I know that occupancy for hotels in Mount Pleasant is in the 90s percentile. It's very, very high occupancy. I'm torn on this one. Mr. Chapman?
I'm looking at the drawing that's in front of us. And it shows proposed cottages, but then it shows a proposed hotel. Can you help me understand? It was my understanding this was going to be all cottages, but doesn't look like that on this drawing.
So the requests for 133 units are accommodated within those these cottages. So it's a mixture of both. The proposed hotel and then the cottage style hotel would make up your 133.
Which is to clarify, we're not So is the 133 units taking away from the, is there an additional total number? Because how many cottage units are there? I think the density question, right? Are there 200 cottage units and now there'll only be 50 cottage units? How is the addition of 133 hotel rooms impacting the number of cottages permitted in the PD? Is it?
I'm not entirely sure as far as the cottages. I know that it proposes less. So, like Peter said, the 133 units are broken up between the proposed hotels. So part of them are encompassed in the large building, and then the rest are throughout the cottages. Are you talking about the original plan that was approved with cottages?
Yes. So I guess I'm trying to understand what the total impact will be as far as total number of units.
350.
But if in the original plan, was it 350 including the cottages? I'm just trying to understand what the increase is. Is that a fair question?
40 garden flats, 36 two and three bedrooms, 70 club suites. So,
but there was also another hotel contemplated in the original. So there was a mix in the original of the garden flats, the club suites, the rental club units, and then more hotel. And so there was more contemplated. There was much more contemplated in the original plan than what's proposed now with the 133.
But this is a PD, correct?
It is a PD.
So I guess what would make me comfortable is if that 133 units is a substitution for, so that there's a reduction of 133 in the remainder of these garden flats, club suites. Does that make sense? So that the total number is not beyond what was originally contemplated?
This PD, if it goes through and gets amended, will repeal and replace that PD. So what is approved through this would be just the 133 units. It replaces this
entirely.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not just a tiny amendment that just adds 133.
It is to all of their property, all four of them. So yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. I'm more comfortable with that.
That helps that we're reducing the number of units, which is what it appears to be, and obviously reducing the number of restaurants. Mm-hmm. So if we approve this, all these square foot restaurants, they go out the window too, correct?
Unless they come back for another plan development amendment.
Okay, but it does. It updates the PD to eliminate all that.
All right. Do we have any motions? Any further questions?
Just reiterate that for me. So we are going down the number of units.
I think it's almost like a 70-40. I think it's a wash. I think it's just changing the nature of it.
It's just a wash and we're losing the restaurants.
I think so. Is that
unless they decided to come back. Again, they would have to come back before you to add restaurants. But at this time, this is the... The master plan would be tied to these 133 units.
I'm going to be a no on this. I would like to see something a little bit better, maybe something our citizens could use. And again, we're here for current residents, not visitors or people wanting to move in. So I'm a no on this.
Do you have any other comments or thoughts?
I'm just trying to be certain about the change. So they're not built out on what was approved from their original PD.
Correct.
And they're just trying to change from what they had already been approved for.
So as I mentioned, there's 23 acres on this property. They've really developed three or four of those.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chairman, I still want to hear the number of additional hotels overall in Patriots Point that have been approved and are going forward. And like I said, one of them is open. Another one is in the process of starting construction, I believe.
Correct.
And there may be two others, but I don't know the exact number. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we won't know with Patriot, like I said, with Patriots Annex, it's not a planned development, it's straight zoning. What was proposed was three. That doesn't mean they have to build three. So as you said, there's Ferry Wharf, and then there's the one that is getting ready to go under construction. So maximum four, not including this one.
I also, I don't see why they take away the restaurants on this, right? Like, is that, it just seems to me like they're substituting out the hotel units for from to a larger hotel to the garden from the cottages. So, because this all is all on a different parcel.
It is, but the PD amendment applies to all four parcels.
Okay, so it would take away those square footages.
Yeah, the PD for all four parcels, the change is for those hotel units.
Okay.
And the way they have proposed it, it removes, there is no proposal to put in those restaurants.
Okay.
So this repeals and replaces that plan development.
Okay. Well, for me, I think it's sort of like a wash as far as like they had the ability under the old agreement to build a certain number of units. And now it seems like they're just changing the format of what those units would be from the majority cottages to a more compact hotel design. I think there's a benefit to, you know, Yorktown is very expensive to maintain and operate. And I think additional revenues generated towards supporting New Yorktown is, and the Medal of Honor Museum is important. I think they're not asking for really that much more than they already have in their PD. So I think I'm, barring more information, I think I'm comfortable with it. But if there's a motion to be made.
Madam Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve the proposed PD amendment, particularly because it's a reduction in the number of rooms and the amount of further commercial activity in an attempt to help keep Patriots Point Naval Museum solid.
All right. We have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll second the motion. Is there any further discussion on this? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All right. Motion fails 2-2. So this will go to council without a recommendation for approval. We'll see how that goes. All right. Moving on to item B, a request to rezone from office professional to neighborhood commercial, 1.57 acre of vacant land, Bowman and Hospital Drive. Planning Commission recommended approval.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to preface that the next three agenda items are straight zoning requests. So unlike the previous PD we're looking at, these straight zoning requests cannot be conditioned or modified. And I did want to mention that just as a matter of transparency, the applicant has provided a site plan with all three of these. It's just a matter of them wanting to be transparent about what their proposal is, but we can't condition it and neither can they. We require that they stick to that site plan. That could easily be changed throughout the design review process. So the request before us is the rezoning to neighborhood commercial from office professional, a vacant 1.57 acre tract on Bowman Road. The subject parcel located on the corner of Bowman Road and Hospital Drive across from the former East Cooper Regional Medical Center. And here it is zoned OP, office professional. And this is town scale commercial. That's the future land use. And we'll circle back to this in a second. But I did want to cover that just based on some historical context that I need to share. In June of 2020, the subject parcel did appear before the Board of Zoning Appeals requesting a special exception for a gas station. That was denied. The Board of Zoning Appeals felt that it did not meet the requirements for screening and the conditions that would permit them to have that use. So I did want to point out that this is a town-scale commercial property, and it should be noted that it's right here on the edge of that town-scale group, and you've got commercial scale right across the street. The interesting thing about this is that under the current allowances under office professional, they are permitted to have 65-foot height no maximum building size, and potentially could have a three-story medical office building. That would be in keeping with what we know as town-scale commercial development. With this request, neighborhood commercial, that limits them to a maximum of 6,000 square feet, and they're proposing retail and coffee shop without a drive-through. Neighborhood commercial would not allow them to put in a drive-through, so that's built into that request. So design-wise, we're actually talking about a downzoning, even though use-wise it is more expansive, but design-wise it would be a downzoning. And what's interesting about this is that the intent of town-scale commercial is that around the outer perimeter and the complex around this outer edge, that you scale down development to better integrate and harmoniously integrate with surrounding context. So along this western portion of Bowman, you have Parish Place and other single-family residential uses. This scales down with a neighborhood commercial design and would fit in better with the area. So
with the broader usage, is the potential for a gas station coming back, or is that not allowed under neighborhood commercial?
That would not be permitted under neighborhood commercial.
So. And so with the 6,000 square foot max, can they have more than one building on the property, or that's one building, 6,000 square feet on the 1.7 acres? So, okay, that's interesting.
Okay. But remember, if they put more than one building, they have to park it. So, and it is a small site. So they really are limited to one building.
And Planning Commission recommended approval. Do I have any questions from the committee or a motion?
Madam Chairman, I want to make a presentation, but in order to get this on the floor, I would move that we deny the request.
All right, we have a motion to deny. Do we have a second?
I'll give him a second.
Okay, we have a motion to deny in a second. Mr. Chapman?
I need to stand up just for a few minutes to get my act together here and explain that this property has a long history, a very long history. Fortunately or unfortunately, I have a lot of information on this long history. This property, I don't know if you have the slides, but I've given the committee members pictures that were taken. I want to start at the back of this group of pictures. It is a particular site from the Vibra Hospital across the street from this site. If you look at the trees, all of the oak trees that have the Spanish moss, I didn't go count the number of oak trees, but there are a lot. The site is a perfect view coming in off of I-526. And you'll see where that is in some more pictures. If you look at the second picture, it's from Bowman, or the top picture, it's from Bowman Road. Again, live oak trees with Spanish moss. The second picture, you can see a vehicle coming off of 526. This site is at the headwaters of Shem Creek, which is very important. And then the second to last picture, you see the number of oak trees again with Spanish moss. It's a pristine site, and it's looking toward where the headwaters are of Shem Creek. I show you all this information as a beginning of where this started. In the early 1980s, Mount Pleasant Town Council was working to bring a hospital to Mount Pleasant. We didn't have one. Mayor Dodds was really anxious for us to get a hospital. They thought they had Roper, but Roper backed out. AMI Hospital agreed to come in. And it is with that that I bring you to the minutes of the May 7th, 1984
council meeting where this was discussed. I happen to be the president of the Parish Place Neighborhood Association, and I was asked by Mayor Dodds to try to work with the neighborhood because the neighborhood didn't think this was a great idea. And I understood where they were coming from. You know, this was, again, if you looked at the pictures I showed you, the whole site looked like that. The property at the time was zoned R2, not what it's zoned today, office professional. The first page in these minutes I've given you, just to show you, it's May 7th, 1984. And in the second paragraph, you'll see that I was in attendance. The second page you're looking at, the mayor called for approval of the zoning change for the site by the MI hospital was bringing. And so the motion was to change from R2 to office professional, which was not bad, but it could have been a real knockdown drag out if we hadn't come up with restrictive covenants. Now, whether or not the previous town zoning administrator put those restrictive covenants in is a question even today. But the council approved restrictive covenants. And the motion that was made by Mr. Smith, and Councilmember Bagwell seconded the motion to bring it to the floor. If you go to the next page, you'll see what the neighborhood requested in terms of restrictive covenants. One was a 100-foot natural buffer between Parish Place and AMI. Natural buffer shall have increased vegetation added as well as substantial earth burn. Two, main access to the hospital should be through a relocated service road, which will tie into Bowman approximately 300 feet northward. That's what today is Hospital Drive. All lighting for the hospital property is to be shielded so it does not shine toward Parish Place. A tree plan must be developed. That's important, tree plan. Said tree plan should preserve as many of the large trees as possible, including pine trees. Access to the hospital site from O'Sullivan, which is in Parish Place, should be prohibited. Auxiliary office development adjacent to Parish Place will not at any time exceed the height of the hospital, not 65 feet. So the mayor's in full agreement with this first five covenants, but feels that the sixth is a denial of rights because at the time it was 35 feet. Again, restrictive covenants. If you go to the last page, page 7, and I'll read. Mr. Howard Chapman addresses council on restrictive covenants by first stating he has removed himself as an employee of the town, representing Parish Place homeowners. And thanks, council, for their cooperation. Again, I was trying to work with Mayor Dodds so we could have a hospital. And we had a lot of homeowners that came to this meeting. The reason I'm reading all this is because one of the main things that happened was the AMI hospital representative, who was Betty Walker, agreed with the restrictive covenants and proposed to even purchase a tract of land that they did not need for development of the hospital, but for the integrity of the land as well as protecting the area around the hospital. Now, fast forward, AMI does no longer own this, but Tenant, a company out of Dallas, Texas, owns it. Think about that, Dallas, Texas.
Texas compared to Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and what you have within a large city like Dallas. I bring that up because we have received a letter from Vibra Hospital. The previous location of AMI and East Cooper Hospital. That letter reads, "Good morning. I am writing in response to the rezoning request of Bowman Road Hospital Drive. My concern is that the traffic for this area is already congested, and the hospital drive being in a curve at this location to further intensify the traffic. Highway 17, Bowman Road, and traffic from Mathis Ferry Road, along with the school and other businesses on Hospital Road, makes high traffic area. The traffic is brisk, and exiting from Vibra Hospital and nearby professional buildings has become a challenge. There have been accidents directly in front of this location. In addition to emergency vehicles for two hospitals, use Bowman Road and Hospital Drive, and navigating the traffic and emergency response is a challenge for all drivers, especially emergency response drivers. There are many collisions in this heavy traffic area. I would be interested in seeing a traffic study for this proposed project. A different concern is that it will be sold in this area. Vibra Hospital is located directly across the road, and we cannot afford to add risk should alcohol or other substances be sold at this location that might present the hospital risk." Fast forwarding to about a month or two after Mayor Haney's first election, I went to Mayor Haney about the fact that there were for sale signs up on this property, and what the history was behind the property, and what council at the time in 1984 approved and supposedly put in restricted covenants. I talked to him about it, and he wasn't able at the time to make any commitments. Again, one of the things that Mr. Sloan mentioned is the hospital didn't care if a gas station went there. Again, go back to Dallas. Go back to what all is in Dallas with the oil barons, okay? I have great sympathy for the hospital workers at East Cooper Hospital. I happen to have spent some time there myself. They do a great job. They're not the Dallas board, okay? My suggestion is, and I've also got some more correspondence from Parrish Place, I'm not going to take the time to read it. My suggestion is, this site is pristine. The hospital workers that work very hard during COVID need a monument to the work they did. My suggestion is that the hospital tenant out of Dallas, Texas, I don't think they need this money that badly, that they make it a monument to the hospital workers that worked tirelessly, hours and hours during COVID. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. We have a motion on the floor to deny the request, and we have a second. Does anyone else have questions or comments? I have some, but Ms. Hyatt?
This discussion of restrictive covenants being filed with the rezoning ordinance, are there any restrictive covenants filed for the property at that time?
I think our legal counsel is going to speak to that because this has come up in the past.
Hi, Mr. Pagolini has made the decision that the restricted covenants referred did not attach to the property, so there are no restricted covenants for this property. He previously made that determination a few years back.
Okay. So despite the fact that the council approved these restrictive covenants, they never actually were implemented. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, they weren't. They never attached to the property. I don't know the specific details, but he's told me that that was the determination that he made, I think, back in 2017.
Okay. So the current ability without these restrictive covenants is office professional. They could build a 65-foot-tall building in this 1.57 acres.
That is correct.
And they're specifically requesting what is effectively a downzoning to neighborhood commercial, which would put a smaller building on the property and be a less intense use.
Well, definitely would be 6,000 square feet compared to a three-story medical office. That would certainly be less trips generated.
Right. So for me, I appreciate Mr. Chapman's comments. I think the idea of a monument is beautiful, but we know how the business world works. You don't buy a property to do nothing to it and put a monument on it. You buy a property in order to build on it and generate revenue. And we can't discriminate against people based on where they're from, coming into Mount Pleasant and wanting to invest in our community. So I think given what the zoning currently allows, moving to something that's a smaller footprint, to me, I'm comfortable with. So I will not be voting in favor of this motion.
Just a question. I heard somebody say that the trees, there was a plan for the trees. They're going to be unharmed.
So this will have to go through the development review team and design review board. The design review board, that would be their purview of the trees. But to be clear, design review board's utmost priority is preservation of historic trees. In fact, they can completely resite this entire building and just maneuver around and reshape it around these trees.
Okay. I appreciate Mr. Chapman's thoughts. I don't know if he can continue to talk to the hospital before any sale goes through for their plans, but I do see it as a less of a zoning, and it's going to be zoned something. So I'm in favor of lowering the zoning and the ability of what could be there. And, if we get lucky and they decide that a park would be an appropriate thing for that space, that'd be great. But I'm in favor of downzoning anytime.
All right, so we have a motion to deny on the table. Let's take a vote on that motion, and then if there's another motion to come after that, then someone can make a motion to approve after that, if this fails. So the motion is to deny. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion fails 3-1. Do we have another motion from the committee?
So I move to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Chapman?
Madam Chairman, again, I think we need to make the ask of the hospital about the potential for using this property as a park in the name of the hospital workers who work so tirelessly to keep us safe and to help people at the hospital during COVID. It's a perfect location, a lot less traffic. And this has nothing to do with one of the proposed projects with this being Starbucks. I like Starbucks coffee. I was in Savannah a couple of weeks ago getting professional development hours and 3 mornings in a row. Hey, breakfast at Starbucks. But this site is very, very important as it comes to the entering Mount Pleasant. Most of our other sites entering Mount Pleasant off the interstate are filled with commercial development. A park would be a great thing entering off of I-26 and or off of 526. So I think we need to make the ask of the hospital.
All right, let's definitely make that ask, and this will go to full council on Tuesday. It can be deferred at that point if the council chooses to do so, to enter into some sort of discussion with the hospital. So we have three in favor. Are you opposed?
I'm opposed.
And three, so the motion passes 3-1 to approve the rezoning. Item C, request to rezone from AB to AB2 at Long Point Road.
So the request before you is to rezone this parcel on the corner of Shipping Lane and Long Point Road from AB to AB2. You can see the zoning here. The adjacent zonings are light industrial. The comp plan does call for business and industry, so it's an appropriate use. In 94, this was actually zoned light industrial. At that time, they zoned it to AB for the restaurant because the restaurant wasn't allowed in light industrial. 2003 to 2007, those adjacent parcels came in. They were zoned light industrial. The restaurant closed, as you heard in the public comment period. They were unable to make it work with staffing, the location. You know how it's developed there around the port, so it's been a very difficult use. So before you now is to zone it back to, not to light industrial, to zone it to AB2, which is closer to the light industrial, so that they can do a enterprise rental, car rental shop. So it is more appropriate there. They did provide a conceptual plan. Obviously, they won't be held to that. It would have to go through our design review board. But the request is to go from AB to AB2. I'm happy to answer questions.
Oh, we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes,
Mr. Chapman.
Do we know where the service station that was planned in this area is going?
I think it was down that way, wasn't it? To the Wanda.
It's right across. So there was one planned on the corner of Shipping Lane, but on the corner of Wanda Park Boulevard and Long Point, there's one big proposed there. It's a Circle K.
Yeah. Say the street again.
On the corner of Wanda Park Boulevard and Long Point Road.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's moving forward.
It yes. has received a final design review board approval.
Okay.
And I have a question. Why are they coming in for AB2 and not back to light industrial? Would light industrial permit the same usage? What you know?
AB2 fits and it allows for the use.
Okay. So. And what else does AB2 kind of allow should this enterprise deal fall through and other things could go there? Like what sort of like the most intense use?
Well, it would allow a gas station. I don't know that they would have the room to do it, but it would allow other uses like that. It would not, I think a storage facility would require a special exception, so that would require BOZA, restaurants, things like that. So I'd say the most intense would be, keep in mind, you'd have to do anything that requires outdoor storage, you'd have to do the special exception. So.
Okay. And light industrial would almost be more intense?
It would be more intense. That's our most intense.
So this is beyond. This is one step back from that.
Correct.
Okay. All right. We have a motion to approve in a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number 6, update on the zoning code rewrite.
Oh, we do have one more.
Nope. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss one? Sorry.
I
missed the page.
Item 2. So this is a request to annex and zone a property, 1.5 acres. It's located right here near the intersection of 17 and 526. There's the storage facility on the corner and then Abide a While on the other side. It is in the county right now. It's adjacent to AB2 zoning. It is recommended for town scale. And you all probably recognize it when you're driving on Daniel Island, although I went by the other day and it's actually been cleaned up quite a bit. But it's this is the site, and I think there was only one car left there the other day, so they've already started cleaning it up. But what they would like to do is annex, come into the town, zone area-wide business, and they are proposing a restaurant. Obviously, AB, they wouldn't, you can't condition that, but that's what they're looking to do. Mm-hmm. And so Planning Commission did recommend approval unanimously.
Do we have a motion? We have a motion to approve. We have a second. Any further discussion?
Yes. How many cars have they already removed? Because I've been working on that since I've been on campus.
I know. I went by there the other day, and I saw one car sitting there. So they have done they've started cleaning it up. It's going to be a nice improvement.
Ms. Corley, is that a motion for the annexation and zoning?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion to annex and zone AB in a second. If there's no further discussion, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
And
now item number 6.
Well, due to time constraints, I can provide you a written update on the zoning code.
Okay.
If that's okay. Does that sound people comfortable with
that's
that?
That's good. But in the budget, yeah. You're hiring somebody to help with that, or when you're spending money. Does that mean we're going to have an expedite of the zoning code? Is that going to help expedite getting it done?
Well, we already have consultants helping with the zoning code rewrite. The position is for code enforcement.
No, I'm not talking about the position. One of the first line items dealt with getting the zoning ordinance done.
Yeah. We are moving forward, and we plan to be done by the end of this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that's just continuing at the pace that we're going now, or can we move things along?
So we're moving along really well. I'll go ahead and provide it since you're asking. We've had 5 special meetings. Our next one is on Wednesday. We've done introduction, zoning districts, use regulations. On Wednesday, we will bring to them buffers and screening, parking, loading, and outdoor lighting. We have signs under legal review. That's a pretty serious issue, so we want to make sure we get that right. Task 6, we will be coming to you also at the April 5th meeting. Planning Commission will be working on defining the hubs for the boundaries. Some of those were defined in the hotel ordinance, but we need to refine those, make sure we have them all defined. And then task 7, we'll be doing the enforcement, rules of interpretation, all those things that are within the zoning code. Definitions and acronyms. Task 9, building permit allocation system, which we don't anticipate changing. And that's it. So we were moving. I don't know, Mr. Chapman, with all due respect, I don't know if we can move any faster, but we are moving along very well.
All right. If there's nothing more to come before this committee, we stand adjourned.